Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
Okay, well, I am ready to teach this lesson. In fact, I'm going to bring you two lessons from the devotional. I'm going to bring a lesson that we brought out or shared on the 19th, and then a lesson from today, okay? And I want to invite you, if you have your Bible, get your Bible, take some notes if you want to. Just let's engage. If you read these lessons, great. If you have, if you haven't, you'll be blessed by it now. If you already read it, you'll be blessed again. You know, faith comes by hearing and not having heard, right? So it's hearing is a continual process. And it's good that I get a chance to teach the very lesson that you have been reading, okay? Now I want to first teach on this topic, two kinds of peace you can have now. Two kinds of peace you can have now. In our text is Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Again, the theme of the whole devotional is in Christ. And every lesson has involved some aspect of who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, what being in Christ, what the benefits are of being in Christ. Well, he says here, Paul said, there's a peace that passes all understanding. I can't explain it. Paul said, I can't tell you. All I know is it's beyond understanding, and it will guard your hearts and minds. Peace guards your heart and mind. If we feel unguarded, if we feel disturbed and confused, sometimes we've let something interfere with our peace with God. And for a lack of that peace, now we have, you know, we have our hearts and our minds are troubled. And I just take God at his word. If God says his peace will guard my heart and mind, well, then I'm going to let God do that. Now, listen, let me add this. Certainly, we're not discounting any mental or emotional issues that one might have. We, as you know, we're advocates for mental health. You know that. I'm talking about all that, you know, aside from any clinical type issue from day to day, we can let the peace of God guard our hearts and our minds. Now, there are not many things in life better than peace. Can you agree with that? I mean, what's better than peace? Of course, there's salvation, okay? You know, there's having Jesus in my heart, yes. But really, it's all about the same thing. And so that's why we should really thank God for peace. We should do things that promote peace in our hearts. And there are a couple of important ways to understand peace as it relates to God and your spiritual life. Two things, two aspects of peace. First of all, peace is a state where one is in right relationship with God. Now, Paul was really talking about that type of peace. He was, you know, he's preaching and he's teaching. And so he's not talking about, you know, the second part. The second one is peace as a mental, emotional state where there is an absence of conflict and freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts. We call this peace of mind. Now, peace of mind is good. Peace of mind, I believe, is biblical. But Paul's talking about peace with God. I mean, in right relationship with God. And I think I've learned this, I speak for myself. If when I wasn't in right walking with God in my relationship, then my peace of mind was also disturbed. Certainly when we have Jesus at the center of our lives and put his kingdom first, all these things added. And one of the benefits of walking with God, you know, having peace with him. So yes, we're not perfect. Yes, we make mistakes, but we're still in a right relationship with him. And that is a form of peace. Again, the second type of peace, we call it peace of mind. So Paul again said, peace surpasses all understanding. He said it is both tangible, that is, real to your senses, and intangible, beyond your senses, right? Things that you can touch, things that are tangible, but you cannot touch things that are intangible. And so peace surpasses understanding. Peace operates, you know, again, peace with God. And I believe we can carry down the peace of mind, but it's tangible and it's intangible. And it's something mysterious about the peace of God. It's difficult to describe. You know, that's why Paul said it's beyond understanding. And so I want us to just thank God for the peace he gives us, peace with him, and then peace of mind, all right? They go together. Now let's talk about ways to get into the peace of God, which leads to peace, right? This is a lesson, again, from 2 days ago, very brief. But how do we get into the peace of God? Now, once we're walking with God in a correct relationship with him, then from that can flow into the rest of our life, various aspects of peace, peace in every way. Well, let me say and suggest to you that prayer, you know, prayer itself is a way of bringing peace. Even when you're walking with God, and that's good, but then there's trouble in your circumstances disturbing your peace, well, then prayer can help restore your peace. Now, listen, prayer and peace may not stop the trouble immediately, but you'll have peace to navigate the issues. You know, we know it's important, don't we, that if we're going through something difficult, it's hard, it's tough, we can really face it much better if we're at peace with God, at peace in our mind, right? At peace in our hearts. And that way we're able to, through prayer, to find solutions. Another item that helps us to get into peace is worship and singing on your own. Now listen, it doesn't mean you have to sound good, okay? David didn't say, make a joyful noise and be in tune. He said, make a joyful noise. And so when we're singing to the Lord, then we want to just express ourselves in song. And so don't leave all the singing to the singers. Now, thank God, singers lead us publicly. Singers are qualified and fit to be in front of us singing. But all of us before God ought to have worship and a song in our heart. Sometimes the song you sing is a made-up song. We have examples. Well, Psalms are song lyrics. David wrote songs. I don't know if he sang them. He played some, spoke others. But a song is that expression of your gratitude, of your thankfulness to God, of your submittedness to God. So a song isn't just singing to music, right? A song is your testimony. It's your praise. It's your adoration for God. And those two, worship and singing, will help bring peace. Third, reading scripture. Reading scripture. I mean, not looking for a proof scripture to argue with somebody at work. I mean, read the Bible for what the Bible says. Exegesis means to exegete is to discover and let the text speak to you, right? And so we're not reading into the Bible, we're reading it. And when we treat the Bible as God's word, I believe there's a blessing. God sends a blessing on you when you respect the word, the scripture, and you read it. Even though you don't understand everything you read sometimes, just keep moving, because the Lord will use that, that reading to help establish you, to help your peace, right? So very important, scripture reading. Next is thinking on good things and crowding out the bad thoughts. We know about this, don't we? And this is tough. This is something you have to work on. You know, naturally, some of us are worriers. We live in a culture of complainers and murmurers and worriers. And so you got to think on good things and crowd out those bad thoughts. And really, there's no other way to do that than, you know, when you're thinking, your inner voice, when you're thinking and your mind goes to a disturbing place, just come on back and just say, tell yourself and just think, you know, memorize scripture, quotes, memorize scripture, sing a song. Just pull your mind back, get in the habit of pulling your mind away from disturbing things. And of course, Philippians 4:8 is the text that tells us what to think on. All right. Whatever is good, whatever is noble, whatever is, you know, praiseworthy, think on these things, and the peace of God will be with you, right? So all I can say to you is, you know, this is something you have to work on. And the thing about it is we can form habits. We have habits of all sorts. So when you form the habit of pulling your mind out of disturbing things back over to peaceful and victorious things, it becomes a habit. You get good at it after a while, okay? Next, reading other inspirational and educational materials, right? Wow, I mean, the Bible is our main reading item. It's the Word of God, Scripture. But there are other inspirational books, educational materials. Sometimes you can just learn about something, right? Learn about something relevant to your life. And that can bring peace. You know, a lack of understanding and ignorance is very disturbing. But when we feed on knowledge and get understanding, boy, it brings a level of peace. Walking and looking at nature, God's creation. And this is a good one. It's sometimes good to go someplace, go to a park. Parks were designed, you know, from long ago to be a place of refuge, a place to go and just reflect and find some peace, peace of mind. It isn't so much a spiritual thing, right? It can be. You don't have to take a walk to find peace, but it's good to do that. You know, New York City, we know about New York City, big, you know, people everywhere, millions of people, buildings, but they had a foresight to carve out a place called Central Park. In the middle of all that urban jungle, they carved out a beautiful park. And I've been there once and or twice, I believe, and it's just amazing, right? So yeah, carve out some space for yourself, right? Make your own Central Park, and do it before it gets cold, okay? Okay. And what else can you think of, right? Just, you know, think about this. Strategize. Your peace is worth the time and effort you have to put in to just walk in it. Now, again, I'm talking about walking in peace of mind. You have the peace with God. Now, if you got a problem with God, if you're in sin or something like that, then clear it with God. Repent and get clear with God. Because there's no peace of mind, no peace in life without peace with God. But once you've got that established, work on walking in peace in your heart, in your mind, in your life, in your circumstances, in relationships, right? Word talks about we should pursue peace, you know, with all men. So we should let the Spirit of God help us in these methods. So again, what can you think of as ways to walk in peace? All right, here's some reflection questions. This is a lesson, again, from 2 days ago. What are the two kinds of peace and what are some examples, right? We talked about peace as Paul spoke of it, right relationship with God. And then peace, as we commonly understand it, as peace of mind and heart. So number two, how will you walk in the peace of God today? All right. You answer that question for yourself. How will you walk? What will you do? Make it practical. Make it real. And three, why is peace difficult to describe? Right. Paul said it's just beyond understanding. It's tangible. It's intangible. And so thank God. Thank God we have the peace of God. And I trust you'll continue to walk that walk of peace, okay? Now let's go on to our second lesson for tonight. This is the lesson from today in the Firm Foundational Devotional, Who I Am in Christ. And the topic, I try to choose interesting titles. This title is, My God Shall Supply All Your Needs, Not Written to You, But. And we'll explain that. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's almost the last verse in the whole chapter. You have to read the whole chapter, and we'll explain why that's important here right now. So the text here was among the last words the Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the Philippian church. It was four chapters in that letter, and these were the last, among the last words. So it's a very positive and popular verse. We know it by heart. We claim it. We say it. But there's an important point to make here. First of all, Paul is not talking to you, me, or anyone else who read this text today. All right? He was speaking specifically to the people in the Philippian church. That's why he said, that's why there's a your, right? Your, he says again, shall supply all your need. So he's talking, it's a letter to the Philippians. He's not talking to you, he's not talking to me. But now, of course, there's application, so don't get discouraged about that. I'm making a point that we sometimes don't even bother with understanding context. Because in this case, it would be very much a mistake to take that one verse and quote unquote claim it without understanding what went before it. And let's make these points next here. So God supplying every need of the Philippians according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus was a conditional promise. All right, listen now, many things that God does is attached to prior conditions. Now we know this, don't we? If you, then I will. We have those, even in the New Testament, we have promises that attach, if we're givers, if you tithe, give offerings, open windows of heaven, pour out a blessing upon you, right? Give and shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. All right, a lot of these conditions in Scripture. Well, now, let's stipulate God's love is always unconditional, right? His love is not, no, his love itself is not conditional. But understand this, even though God loves you and loves me, God will still let you fail and suffer if we don't follow him. He can love you and you'll still suffer. You'll still struggle because obedience to God matters. Let me frame this up. You know, we preach grace. This is a grace. It's a grace ministry. And grace means, you know, God is God supply, God helping. But grace, I don't believe in greasy grace. Greasy grace. It's not like you do whatever you want and don't follow God, pay attention. He'll just bless you anyway. No, he'll have mercy. So then we call these, you know, faith-filled actions. The Bible says in James that faith without works is dead, being alone. A newer version says faith without corresponding actions is dead faith. So true faith, you know, faith sincerely walks out what it is that God is asking us to do. It's not that works salvation's about. I'm going to do this so God will love me, so God will like me, so God will accept me. No, I'm not talking about that. This is totally different. This is obedience, and this is works that correspond and just now almost naturally follow faith, right? Okay. So then understand that this text is a text, it's a letter to the Philippian church from which we can draw life for ourselves. So what Paul wrote to the Philippians explains their path to blessing. Now watch, here's the context. Here's what led to what Paul said in the 19th verse. First, it's about how one prays. Again, this will work for us as well if we follow the same pattern as the Philippian believers. So he wrote, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God," right? Don't just complain about stuff. Don't just say, well, God knows. He'll do it in his own good time. You better pray, because he said pray. He said, don't be anxious. Anxious, you know, anxiety is a problem. Stress is a form of anxiety. He says, in everything, not some things, everything. Big things, small things, all right? With prayer, supplications means it's a specific, definite request. Supplication is not like, well, you know, you ask a person to pray for you, and they say, I have an unspoken request. I can't pray for unspoken requests. Not fully. You know, I still pray for you. But to get results, that God wants to know what's on your mind. Well, God knows. He knows. Yeah, he knows. But the system works is you have to tell God. You have to supplicate, explain it, right? Like you write up a letter to give to somebody, you know, so they'll know what you need and what you want. Even though God knows, he wants us to participate, right, by making specific requests. That's why sometime before you ask for something, you ought to think about it for a while. Just think about it and get it together in your mind. You know, be clear about what you want, right? Be clear about it and then ask, right? And be specific. He says, and with thanksgiving, see, that giving God thanks. It's not just, you know, like one guy said, my name is Jimmy. I take all you can give me. It's not about that. It's about asking and thanking. Thanking God in advance of seeing or receiving anything. Just thank him because he's God. We don't thank him because we expect to get something. No, we thank him because he's God. The thanksgiving piece is because it's all connected to approaching him. Let your requests be made known to God, right? Whatever it may seem, sometimes what you want and ask or need, want to ask may seem ridiculous to people. Don't tell people, tell God. Because everything to God is valuable. You're valuable. Everything you want and need. God, listen, the Bible says the hairs of our head are numbered. It's just a way of saying it. That's the detail to which God loves us, right? So he's very detail-oriented, and he wants you to come to him with detail, all right? Next, again, what the Philippians did that led to what Paul said in verse 19. Number two, how one thinks. We referred to this earlier. Here's the actual scripture from Philippians 4 and verse 9. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things. This is very specific help for us, isn't it? Paul is saying, this is how, see, I've worked with people, I've had my own issues in life, and I tell you, when we're under some kind of heavy load and spirit of heaviness and such, our minds have been in the wrong place for too long. Are we going in and going out, right? Going in, going out. And then we become convinced it's normal, you know, to be up and down. No, it's not. I remember I counseled a young couple many years ago who were dating. They were arguing all the time, always arguing. And I said, wait, why are you arguing so much? It's like, well, it's just, isn't it the way it is? I said, no, it's not the way it is. I mean, obviously they grew up thinking that, you know, seeing whoever argue, parents, whomever, made them think that this is the way it's supposed to be. No, it's not. No, lovers rarely argue. Let me say it again. Lovers and friends rarely argue. Oh, it happens, but it's rare. And that everyday, all the time stuff, don't buy that. You know, get your mind right. Get your heart right. Get the peace of God and bring peace to your spouse. Bring peace to your friends. You know, it's amazing how when you get to the place where you're walking in peace, you can actually export peace to others. You can actually bring peace and not just stir up more stuff, right? Some folks just stir up more and more stuff. But some of us, all of us in Christ, I believe are destined to bring peace, right? But it begins with how we think, how we pray, how we think, all right? Next thing we see at the Philippians we're into, that they were givers and supporters of the ministry. Paul wrote here, says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked the opportunity. And so Paul commended them for supporting him. He was an apostle. He was out there ministering you know, and so they supported him. And that was a good thing for them to do. And of course, it's true in the church today. I mean, I'm a pastor. I'm supported, you know, by the church, tithes and offerings, you know, and I receive a salary from some of that. And I appreciate that. It helps me to be able to do things like this and be available, you know, whenever you need me. Full time, you know, I have a business as well, but I prioritize, you know, the pastoral work above all, right? So Paul spoke about that part of the reason he could say, my God shall supply all your needs, because they were givers and they were supporters of the work of God. Matter of fact, he says in verse 14, goes on, he says, nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now, you Philippians also know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only, right? So Paul went to stress where nobody even, he went to places to preach and help people. They didn't give an offering. They didn't even help him. But the Philippians were sending help to Paul, right? So again, there's reasons why we read Philippians 4:19. There's reasons for it. And I guess why that verse is not directed to you or me, but we can walk in the same principle if we understand and do what the Philippians did. All right, it says, so the Philippians, number four, they learned contentment. Now, Paul is speaking of himself here. He's giving a testimony. Paul said, not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. So Paul, that was what he said after he thanked them for giving and supporting him. But Paul said, I'm not saying this in regard to need. I'm not pulling on you to give me money. That's what Paul said. I'm not pulling on you. I've learned, Paul said, I've learned. you know, if you're a minister, you know, you've learned, okay? Whatever state I am in, to be content. That word content is very powerful. I've taught about that in a whole different lesson. But content, it kind of is a state where you have adapted your thinking to the situation. You have decided, I'm not going to be desperate. I'm not going to, you know, look at people hoping they'll give me something. I'm going to be content and settled, right, in at peace with God. And contentment is like, you know, I don't have to have that. It'd be nice to have it. I don't have to have it. You know, it's a place where you just are at peace. That's the best word. You're at peace with your circumstances. Even though it's not where you want it to be, you know that God is with you. He's helping you. And so whatever state, and Paul went on to say, I know how to abound. Let me go and read the rest of that. He said, he said, verse 17, not that I seek a gift, but that I seek fruit that abounds to your account. See, Paul said, I'm not looking for something from you. I want to see God bless you by becoming a giver. He said, indeed, I have all and I abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you. Right? So he had a supply at the time he spoke this, because the Philippians had helped him. And let me go back up here. Here it is, verse 12. He said, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I've learned to be both full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, this is good because we have to actually learn how to be abased, learn how to abound. Now, you would think that, oh, it's easy to abound. No, it isn't. It actually is difficult. When you're doing well, you got some money come in, opportunities in, sometimes abounding can make you loose. You can become loose and kind of lazy in a sense and slap happy, you know, and buy a bunch of stuff. And you think, I've arrived. You have to learn how to abound. You know, and part of it is you don't get overexcited. You know, we've had, as you know, all these years at church, we've had all kind of offerings. We've had low offerings, the high offerings. And we have big gifts come in, no gifts come. And my reaction is always the same. I've learned, see, to be content. And Paul said, he said, I've learned this. He didn't say I knew, he said, I've learned how to be abased. I've learned how to be full and hungry. I've learned how to abound and suffer need. So it goes back to contentment, right? You don't just base your life on the circumstances. You're not just trying to be happy all the time. You're not happy when the ship comes in, you know, and sad when you don't see the ship on the horizon. This is real stuff. And again, the peace of God, you know, is a big part of this. Okay. So these are the ways in which the Philippians then qualified. Again, so Paul, these were the types of faith-filled behaviors and mindsets which contributed to Paul's declaration to them, over them, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's why Paul said that. He was speaking to people who were in prayer, who were thinking the way they ought to think. Let me go back here and review these points again. Paul spoke to people who prayed, were not anxious, but were specific in prayer. He spoke to people who knew how to think, right? Where to put their mind and keep their mind or pull their mind back from something. They were givers. They were givers, all right? And then they were people who learned contentment, as Paul himself learned. He taught it. He lived, he modeled it because he had it in his own life. So then let me conclude this by saying it would be true for you and me if we walk the same faith-filled path, right? So even though Philippians 4:19 was not for you, was not for me, but it is true for us if we walk the same faith-filled path. And then here are reflection questions for that lesson. Why is Philippians 4:19 misunderstood? I think you understand now, because people don't read the whole chapter. Now, I should have said earlier, you know, Paul did not write in chapters and verses. The Bible was not comprised of chapters and verses. Those were added for our convenience as readers. So Paul, when he wrote the letter, it didn't have, there was no, there was no Philippians 4:19. There was the whole letter, right? And so that it would have been more apparent if we didn't have the benefit. Well, again, I thank God for chapters and verses. It's good for a reference. But we should not build, you know, our life on a verse when we have the whole text to consider, right? If I mail you a letter, you know, or email, please just don't read the one sentence you like, or be upset with the one sentence you don't like because you haven't read the whole letter, see? So we want to keep things in context, all right? Context is so important. Number two, how do you need to build faith-filled obedience to God? All right, probably an awkward reworded question, but the point is, you know, what will you do to build your faith-filled works, faith-filled actions in obedience to God? Because obedience to God is still important. I don't care what people say. That greasy grace thing, don't pay attention to that. Because God's still a God who expects us to follow him, obey him, and do what he says. That has not changed, okay? He has this problem. He thinks he's God, okay? And we know he's God. Number three, why is context important to reading scripture? We just talked about that. Context is so important. Okay, well, those are the two lessons I want to share with you from days 19 and 20. Of our firm foundation, devotional, who I am in Christ. Father, thank you for this lesson. Thank you for these two lessons. Thank you for, Lord, just reminding us of how important it is for us to know that we have two kinds of peace, peace with you and peace of heart and mind. Lord, thank you. We're going to walk in peace and defend that peace and protect that peace, Lord, and share that peace with others. Thank you, Father God, that you do supply all of our needs through Christ. And Lord, that verse written to the Philippians can be true for us as well if we walk the same faith-filled path as the Philippians. Lord, thank you that you're merciful and you certainly show us a lot of grace, but yet you've given us authority, you've given us ability, you've given us faith that we can do things, Lord, in your name. So help us to walk, Lord, in that way. Thank you, Father God, for the devotional on tomorrow again. Just let people, Lord, if they've missed them, go back and read and just take time the next few days and go through all of them and be encouraged that we are in you, Lord, in Christ. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.